Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So throughout this Lenten season and Holy Week, we've been focusing on the nature of the church. So we've talked about how it is evangelical, how it is Catholic, how it is liturgical and sacramental, confessional, orthodox, apostolic, cruciform, lots and lots of words. And I guess if you don't have any clue what some of those words mean, you can always look it up on our church's website because all the sermons are posted there. Anyway, today we're going to talk about a Latin phrase that has been in use in the church for hundreds and hundreds of years, where we say the church is unum sanctum, which means the one holy church. And so really, in reality, there is one church, not many, just one. Even though we look out at the world and we see lots and lots and lots of different kinds of churches, many different denominations teaching different kinds of things and not always agreeing with each other on all points. And so sometimes, even on the key points of God's Word, there is disagreement. Things like about how does God save us from our sins, or how much involvement do I have in my salvation? Things like that. But in the end, no matter what denomination you go to, if you believe the Christian faith as it is defined by the creeds of the church, you might know them, the Apostolic Creed, the Nicene, and the Athanasian, those creeds, if you believe the Christian faith as defined by that, which all Christians everywhere agree with, and if you don't agree with those, then you aren't actually a Christian. But anyone who believes what those creeds teach, however wrong you might be on other points of what God's Word teaches, if you truly believe what those creeds teach, then you are part of that one church. Thus, the church on earth can't actually be seen with your eyes. You might look at this group of people here today, but you're not necessarily seeing the church. You're seeing a whole bunch of people, but the church can't be seen with the eyes because our eyes can't see the faith of the heart, can they? Instead, the church can really only be known by the ear. Because it is with the ear that you hear this faith of the creeds, and it's through your ear that that faith gets into your heart and faith is born in you. And it's then with the heart that you speak this faith back again to your God. And so the church cannot be seen, rather the church is heard, so that there is only one church throughout the whole world, the church that trusts in Jesus Christ. And since none of us here were here 2,000 years ago to witness Jesus and his resurrection, it's with the ear that any of us come to even know about it at all. As we hear the accounts of those who saw it for themselves, who saw that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So that everywhere where this confession of faith of the risen Christ is heard, there, true faith in the true God can be found. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is such that even though lies or falsehood or misunderstanding might cloud your perception and even seek to choke out your faith, nonetheless, the Spirit of God, which raised Christ our Lord from the dead, can and does win through all those kinds of errors and confusions. And so he calls many from the manifold deceptions of this world to the faith that proclaims and clings to that proclamation that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And so that heard word, which is proclaimed into your ears and confessed from your lips, it is the basis of the oneness of the church. But the church is not only one in faith, one in confession of her Lord. She is also holy. Now, you look at the church, you look at this group of people here, especially if you know any of these people here. Church doesn't look that holy, does it? We all know each other's foibles. Even if you don't know any of the folks sitting beside you terribly well, you certainly know your spouse, your children, those kinds of things, your parents, you know their sins. And so when we look at the church as a human institution and a gathering of human people, In that light, she does not seem holy. You might know the line from the hymn, "By schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed." And we might continue on, "By politics she's plundered, by power games oppressed. With sinful men and women in leadership and pew, she is the treasured inheritance of but the faithful few." There's no use in denying that people in the name of Christ and in the name of His church have been responsible for all manner of wickedness and evil, be it clergy sex scandals or cultural destruction and abuse visited on people by church-run residential schools, or be it the reckless bloodletting of the Crusades, and on. There's all kinds of things you can account and lay at the feet of the church. And even though the Lutheran church had no part in any of those abuses that I just listed, we didn't run residential schools, we didn't preach the Crusades, our clergy are allowed to marry in keeping with God's word, and so therefore, when there are sexual scandals in our midst, they're usually of a different nature. Nonetheless, the fact that Christians have done such things, that the broader church is afflicted by such abuse of power, and that the Christian faith, therefore, we are impacted too. And because we are one in confession of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead, we too then are hurt by these kinds of scandals that occur within the broader church. And so just like the church's unity is not something that you can see on this side of heaven, neither is the church's holiness something you can actually see on this side of heaven. Because to look at the Christian church on earth is to see sinful human beings trying to live with, trying to get along with each other as well or as poorly as any of us get along with anybody anywhere, which is to say, we don't. Whether it be in our workplace or our family or in community organizations, we all know the politics, the competition, the heated words that get said. And so, even in the church, favorites get played. We don't act fairly toward one another. We adults bully each other, or we stick our heads in the sand when that bullying occurs, and then we wonder why our children bully each other at schools. And so when someone rubs us the wrong way, what do? We tend to avoid them, or we get into a fight with them. And more often than living together charitably, giving each other the benefit of the doubt, trying to walk a mile in their shoes, or working out our problems with each other when they arise, we do the easy thing, the avoiding or the fighting, because that's our human nature. It's our default setting. And thus, the church is no different from any other organization, not from your family, not from any other group out there, because it too is made up of sinful human beings. And in the face of this, we have to give thanks to God that the church's holiness then is not of ourselves. It is of our Lord Christ, and Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. He is that one singular human being in all of history who was verifiably, undoubtedly, completely dead. He was buried in a sealed tomb so that the oxygen would have gotten used up, even if he had merely swooned and gone into some kind of coma. And yet, against all odds, against all laws, against nature itself, and against the sum total of human experience, this dead man came back to life. He has reversed death. He has conquered that thing which is our enemy, and he has conquered that which causes death, which is sin, with its wickedness and its entropy and its decay. He sucked all of that stuff into himself, and he put it to death in himself on the cross. But because he himself had done nothing to earn death, he only underwent death in order to put death to death. And so, having killed death, he rose again in victory over it, and he did a victory dance, kind of like an NFL star or something like that. He did a victory dance over death and the grave. And now, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And so, baptized into him, You and I, we are set apart. We are declared alive in Christ, the death defeater. And that one church is holy, not because her actions are so terribly different than the rest of the world, not because you and I aren't just as flawed as the rest of humanity, not because any one of us who believes in Christ's victory over death has conquered death themselves or has figured it all out, but because Christ did it on your behalf. That victory over death, that completely supernatural, miraculous fact that you too will rise to eternal life on the last day, that is yours this day. And so his uniqueness, his set-apart status as the one man who ever conquered death, that's what his holiness is. That set-apart status, he gives it to you. He's the one man who ever conquered death, and through him, you too shall conquer death. That utter uniqueness then sets you apart from the masses of humanity. For though you may die, as is the lot of everybody, yet you shall live. It is yours through your baptism into him. And there in those waters of baptism, you were spiritually put to death and raised to new life. That old man of sin living in you, those sinful desires that you sometimes wonder when you pay attention to your thoughts, you wonder, where did that thought come from? Those sinful desires, that old man was put to death in baptism and a new man took his place. A new man rose up. Christ himself is in you. And that has happened to you spiritually in baptism, and it happens daily when you turn from your sin and believe in Jesus, and it is yours. It will be completely fulfilled, however, in your body. Not just spiritually, but in your body it will be accomplished on the last day when our risen Lord comes again and raises us from the dead. And then that mystery, that changing in the twinkling of an eye, that being clothed with immortality and with imperishability, it will occur. And at that moment, on that last day when Christ comes again, then the one holy church, which cannot be known and perceived except by the ear, on that day you will see it with your own eyes. For on that day, all those who by faith were part of the church will be made known as the sons of God, and they will be revealed to all who have ever lived. And that's what it means that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.